there's something that we do frequently, and I suppose you do this frequently. At least I do. I was just kind of taking a stock of how often I do this. Here it is. Let's go on a search. Sometimes it is on the net there, Google. Can you imagine a few years ago, somebody saying, I Googled it. Okay. 5 years ago. Seven. Ten. 15. Okay, we'll do that. They would have looked at you and said, what? 15 years ago. Just merely 15 years ago.
It hasn't been a birth for all that.
That's right. Google it. MSN. AOL. Ask.com. And we search it. But you know, as important as the net is, it's not the only thing that we search. By the way, I was going to talk about that. You know, one thing to search is you've got to think like a search engine to find it. Have you noticed that? There's sometimes I have to think like a computer operates at work to try and solve something. It's a challenge. It kind of is like sometimes to think like the engine searches. Nevertheless, the internet isn't the only thing we search. Sometimes tool. Guys, that socket, this tool mess. Anybody know this experience? Trying to find something? Okay, let's go to the house. Sometimes we search like that. Where did I put that thing? Sometimes the search is like that. And that search. Where did this used to be? They've rearranged this thing. We do searches. We do this frequently. Different kinds of searches. What's the last search you went on? Deer. Okay. I didn't put that one up here. What's the last search you went on? When? When did you do this? Yesterday, around the house.
Trailer hitch last Sunday.
There you go. This week, I was doing this one, not in a grocery store, but yesterday, Menards, where did they put the plastic sheeting? We used to call it Visqueen, but I don't know what they call it now. Going after that, as a matter of fact, finding a couple of these on the internet. What's the last thing you searched for? Pardon me?
A hotel.
There you go. There you go. This morning. We do this. We do this frequently. Jesus made a comment about searching. He made this comment to folks who were searching. I want you to see this. You search the scriptures. He said, hopefully we do that. Jesus talking to these people specifically said this, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And he says, it is these which testify of me. It's these which speak of me. It's these which point of me. It's these that are bear witnessing of me. It's these that are talking of me. And then he goes on with these. We're challenging him. And he said this, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The context said just healed a man on the Sabbath day. And they were protesting because surely this is a horrible thing to do, to work on the Sabbath day like this. And so they were persecuting him. And Jesus said, my Father is working right up until now. God is doing this. And because God is doing this, I am doing this. And not only did they try to persecute him then for that Sabbath day, but they tried to kill him all the more, because he said God was his Father, thus making himself equal with God. And then he said these kinds of words to them. You search the scriptures. It's a search you go on because you think in them you have eternal life, and it's these that are telling you of me. What's his purpose here? What is the purpose here? of the Scriptures. Look at the verses. What is the purpose? What's the purpose? Look at the verses. What is the purpose? What is the aim that God has in the Scriptures? That's it. They testify of Him. To reveal Christ. To testify of Him. But it doesn't end there in the revealing of Christ. What else do you see here? What else is God's intent? What else is God's aim in this? To reveal Christ, but also to what? Yeah. That we be willing to come to Him. It's a search that Jesus commented on, because we so frequently search. And it is indeed by Jesus, so that you are willing to come to me. And their problem was, you're not willing to come to me, that you may have life. As God intends it to be. Life. So, in our searches, we're going to get rid of that. And this morning, we're going to talk about willing to come to me. Jesus' words. Willing to come to me. All of the Scriptures are to testify to Christ. All of them. Testify to Christ. And this morning, in our Through the Bible that we started this year, back in May 26th, we've been going through the Old Testament, and we come to the New Testament this morning. All of the Old Testament was preparation for the Christ. All of it. All of it was to put a foundation so that we would understand the Christ. All the way from creation. All things were made by Him and for Him. Through Him, back to Him. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is beginning. He is end. Creation. Fall. Through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin. Whew. Problematic. Death spread to all men. Because all have sinned. And through the one man, Christ Jesus, there is the gift of righteousness. Whew. Creation, fall, flood. Even here, the preservation, 1 Peter 3, through the flood, that ark, is the representation, 1 Peter 3, of the resurrection in Christ. It is all to tell us about Him. The divisions of nations, oh, that too. From every tribe, language, people, and nation. All of it. Creation, fall, flood, division of nations, call, Dead Sea. Salt. Say this with me. Terah dies at Haran. All of this call was to Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, understanding. And then Isaac, the child of promise. You know, in this series that we have, our children off right now, have been learning that every story whispers His name. This child of promise too? this child of promise, where Abraham had to wait, and there was Isaac, and Isaac had two, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob supplants Esau, and Jacob has how many? 12. What's his name changed to? The 12 tribes of Israel. And all of these are preserved in Joseph alive. 400 years. Let my people go. No. Whoa. Down they come. 10 plagues. And the last one, the Passover, is just killer, and he says, go. Then he changes his mind. Come back. And at the Red Sea crossing, what happens? The entire Egyptian army is no more. From there, this is the story. He takes them to Sinai and the giving of the law, which is our schoolmaster. It's our tutor to bring us to. That's what the story is about. All of this is to bring us to Him, to His redemption in Christ. This is what God is doing. It's telling us of Him. And they get the law, and they're petrified. They are stones in the fear of this. We'll do it! Do they do it? Not for a day, not for an hour do they do it. Not at all do they do it. None of us do it. Because it brings us to Christ. It's about Christ. It's Christ. And He sends them with the law into the promised land. And they take it. And when He says, go to the promised land, they say, no. So, 40 years they wander in the wilderness. Till all that generation is dead and gone. Save two. Thank you. And He takes them to the Jordan, and He backs it up to Adam and lets it run to the Dead Sea, and He takes them across to Jericho and to Hazar. Land. Promise with the land. Promise. Problems here that they don't fully follow. And so the thing keeps biting them, and they keep getting problems. And every time that they go off, God raises up the Philistines, the Amorites, or one of the nations to kick them in the eye. And they've got problems. All of this is to take us to Christ. They did what was right because there was no king. We want a king, so He gave them a king. And Saul was a king that was all about himself. And then King David, who had a whole heart for God. And his son, Solomon, who had a half heart for God. And then Rehoboam, the king, who had no heart for God. And the kingdom was divided. Rehoboam, Jeroboam. 722 BC, God takes Rehoboam in the southern kingdom and disperses him to the Syrians. 586 BC, God takes Judah, the southern kingdom, into exile in Babylon. You know where that was? That's where Abraham came from. The Ur of the Chaldees. He's there. During that time that they're there, there are prophets that speak repeatedly. And then 7 years, as Jeremiah said, the prophet, they're coming back. First, Zerubbabel, wave one. Esther happens at that point in time. Then Ezra, wave two. And finally, the last book of the Old Testament, Nehemiah, wave three. Micah speaks at the end of Nehemiah. End of story. 400 years silence. Not a word from heaven. Not a word. Not a prophet. Not a voice. Not a priest. Nobody. And during this time, Rome comes to power. And that's where we pick up today. A Savior. Christ. The Lord. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Luke. Because we're going to make a couple of points here. In the book of Luke. And from Matthew. Here's the point. God willing to come to us. All of those events, the prophets, the people, the failures. Okay, let's talk about when Israel had their highlights. Under King David. Let's talk about King David. He was a man after God's own heart. Absolutely perfect in all of his ways, right? We sinned there. So much so that the sword never departed from his house, from his sin. He lived in it. Solomon! Never did Israel rise higher than Solomon. Even Jesus spoke of him. Solomon in all his glory. And he was righteous in all of his ways. Oh. Wow. Can I tell you something? The Bible isn't about glorifying man. It's about the grace of God and the glory of Him. 400 years silence. Then the Lord, during one of their activities, Zechariah goes into the temple, and an angel appears to him. 400 years of silence, broken. Hey, Zechariah, your wife's going to have a baby. How can this be? Well, you'll be silent too. God coming to us. I want to make a point here. Your coming to Him has a place with this. Let's talk first about God coming to us. It happened in time. Verse 26 of Luke 1. In the sixth month of what? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's what he's talking about. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed or engaged, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. I want to get a point here. God initiates. God coming to us, God initiates. He goes first. And here, He goes first with Gabriel. Get this. God goes first. In God coming to us, God goes first. Say this with me. In God coming to us, He goes first. He initiates. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Brethren, if God so loved us, we ought to have a response. Now, that's where this goes. God initiates. He goes first. He initiates here with Gabriel, an angel. Now, I want you to know that an angel, even though they surely get some unique reputations here, I want you to know an angel is merely a messenger from God. Here, this is what Hebrews says. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Did you get this? God initiates and initiates with His messengers who are sent to serve those who have earned salvation, who have been good enough to be given a good standing with God. They have done so well that they have earned God's pleasure with them. They have been so good that God now favors them above other people. I want you to know that no salvation, no favor with God is ever earned. It is always as an inheritance by your being born and adopted into a family, His family. Whenever I talk to someone about their salvation, I will say words like, how do you gain eternal life? How did you come to know that you inherit salvation? Because most of the world thinks that they're going to earn a good standing with God. If you can, block out of your mind as much as humanly possible that you can do anything to gain an earned favor with God. You can't earn His favor. You can't be good enough to please Him. These angels minister to those who will inherit salvation by adoption. I'm saying that for a reason. And the reason is that God comes in a messenger, Gabriel. There's only two angels mentioned in the Bible. Gabriel and who else? Michael. Those are the only two angels that are talked about by name. There's a lot of them referred to. As a matter of fact, there's millions. There's multitudes. But there's only one and two that are named. Michael is talked about as being a supercharged warrior angel. He goes to fight the battles. And Gabriel, he is a super messenger. As a matter of fact, if you look at Luke 1:19, he's the one that stands in the very presence of God. And he takes these messages, fires them. It was him that talked to Daniel, Gabriel. It was him that talked to Zechariah. And it's him who brings this biggest message of all to a virgin. It's to a virgin in Galilee. Do you remember what the scripture says? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, of Galilee? Any good thing? No. You know, that's a loser's place. You see, it's Jerusalem where all these people stuck to the law and they kept it perfectly and they did it. They did it on their merit. They did it by how good they were. And Galilee? Remember what was called Galilee of the Gentiles? That's what it's called? Because, man, they were loose up there. I mean, they weren't like us, hanging on to the law so well and being so good that we considered ourselves righteous and despised others. Are you following me here so far? God comes through His supercharged angel to Galilee, not to Jerusalem, not to the movers and to the shakers. It was to a lowly teenage girl. After His 400 years of silence and His creation, fall, flood, and all that stuff, He put it on a little girl. Are you picking up anything here? That it wasn't the movers and the shakers and the high and the holy on their own. It was to a little girl. Now, I want you to know that when I was taught about this little girl, this little virgin girl, I remember going to church and sitting there and them telling us about how wonderful Mary had been and how she had earned her because she was such a wonderful child. It was to motivate me to be a wonderful child too. So God would favor me. And I had to walk around when we did this like this. So I would look so wonderful child. And can I tell you that that is damning to the soul. That is damning to the soul. Because God is going in absolutely the opposite direction. It was to a virgin in Galilee. And God initiates this by grace. Back from the very start, let me move this up. From the very start, God comes here and He says, well, look, how does God greet this girl? Verse 28, how does He greet this girl? He says, hello, wonderful child. Right? You who have so been earning of my kindness towards you. How does He, from the start, talk to her? He says, hello, graced one. That's what that word is. That word that He says favored there, it's the word receiving grace one. And this greeting troubled her. This greeting troubled her. She's afraid. And look at what it says. Graced one. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. The angel appearing to her really didn't bother her. As much as the saying. As what He said. She was troubled at the saying. And tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What are you talking about? Graced one. Favored one. Hey, I want you to know something. In God coming to you, in God coming to me, it is always by grace. It starts with grace. It calms fears by grace. Calmed her fears. It is always by grace. Grace. God rescues by grace. Say this with me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not yourself. It is the gift of God so that nobody can think how wonderful I have been. Oh, such a precious child that God will favor. You knew, you know, if you do good, you'll please God too. I want you to know nothing pleases God that we do. The only thing that pleases God is Jesus Christ. He pleases God. And if you're in Him, then God is you too. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. That's what it says. God rescues by grace and He crafts you by grace, verse 10, because we are His craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good things that He has designed that we just live them. Not that you go out and do them one day a week. We just live them. Walk in them. I want you to know, this is coming to you. From the start, He greeted Mary by saying, "Hey, one who has received grace," and it troubled her. "What do you mean? I have gotten unearned, undeserved favor and blessing from you." Grace, those are the words He used. And the angel calmed her fears. He said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God." Grace. Hey, you know, sometimes my kids say, "You talk about grace a lot." Not enough. Not enough. God coming to us is pure grace from the start. That alone calms fears. You have found this grace. Now, God initiates by grace. And by God initiating by grace, it's to acts of power. Look what happens here. "And behold, Mary," take a look at this, "you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a son and you shall call his name Yeshua. The Lord saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob," this house of Israel, this, remember? Yeah, the Old Testament? Yeah, "forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, there's something here that I want to bring up. This is talking about a tremendous act of power going on. This birth of Christ and what He's going to do. And He will save His people. And He will reign and He will rule. And that's still true. And it's true today in hearts, and it will be true in the future when He sets it up on earth. That's all true. Now, He's going to tell her how this is going to happen. He just told her what's going to happen. This is the tremendous act of power that God initiates by grace. And now He's going to tell them how this is going to happen. This is the story time. Do you know the story? How does it happen? What's the story? What's the story? You know, we're working on story, and what's the story? Story is, how's this going to happen that she's going to conceive in her womb? How is this going to happen? Pardon me? The Holy Spirit! The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. You know, that would have been an amazing thing. I don't know what it looked like to have the power of the Most High overshadow. However it looked, I don't know what happened when this power of the Most High overshadow. There was a conception by God in the womb. And look at how He says this. "And the child will be born to God." And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, she's in her 6th month. I mean, that's what we're doing here. It's time. It happens in time. And nothing with God is impossible. And Mary gives a response. I'm going to stop. It's right here. Mary gives a response. But before we go to Mary's response, we have to see the other side of this. Okay? So go back to Matthew. Flip there quickly. This is the other side of this. Grace initiates. Grace is going to do a powerful act. But you see, in this thing where there's to be a marriage and there's to be a child born, and there's another side to this. Do you know it? There are two sides. His side, her side, right? Sometimes those two sides don't get along very well. We need to work to get those sides along. This is his side of the story. Okay? Kenny, I want you to think about this. You're engaged. This engagement is not like 21st century American engagements. This is a binding thing. It's like you're already married. It's as legally binding as the marriage. And then, your teenage fiancé comes up to you and says, I'm pregnant. Hey, Joe, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. Now, you know that you have not been with her. And then she says, but it's by the Holy Spirit of God. He overshadowed me. And the power of the Most High came upon me. But he said, don't be afraid because you've got grace. Wow. That's the story. You see, grace never causes any problems in anybody's life. Is there a problem here? Yeah, there's a problem here. There's a problem. And it's on Joe's side. When she comes to him with that message. And I want you to know that Joe thought about this. I want you to know, I guarantee you that he thought about this, and I will show you that he thought about this. Go with me. Matthew chapter 1. And we look down at chapter 1, verse 19. Now the birth of Jesus took place like this. Or verse 18, birth of Jesus took place like this. When his mother Mary was betrothed, that means engaged, before they'd become together in marriage, she was found to be with child. And it was from the Holy Spirit. And it's been quite a conversation. And her husband, Joseph, he was a just man. He was going by God's directions, aware of the law, but he was unwilling to put her to shame. So he resolved to divorce her quietly. That's what it took when you were engaged. And did he think about these things? Look, verse 20. But as he considered these things, this is going over in his mind, this whole scenario that I just painted out to you. It was going on. He was considering these things, it says. Now, point here. God follows through on grace initiatives. Though there are things that seem to be problems, if you go by God's direction, if you follow grace and his kindness towards you, to follow him. Problems, I want you to know, God follows through on grace initiatives. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, by grace, is going to stay on it until the day of Christ, till it finds its completion in Christ. That's what he just said here. He'll stay on it. God follows through on grace initiatives. I want you to see what he does here. So an angel appears to Joseph as he's considering this, verse 20. And an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. That's what the name Yeshua means, the Lord saves. All this took place to fulfill that which the Lord had spoken by the prophet, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name what? God with us. God coming to us. God initiates by grace and He follows through His grace initiatives. He follows them through. And Joseph responds. Joseph responds. But we're going to come to that in a moment. Something else I need to have you see. Well, where'd that go? Where'd we go? It's good. Thanks. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. It happens in time. Just like it happened in time for Joseph, it happened in time for Mary, it happened in time for Joseph. Okay, now, it happens in time. There we go. Yeah, for this too. Happens in time. Luke chapter 2. And in those days, you know, one thing I need to let you know, do not abstract grace from reality. Don't take the things of God and put them away as being something, as far away and disconnected, because it happens in time and it happens in lives. It happens in your life if you're willing. In those days, it happened in time. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And God initiates by grace. It happened when Quirinius was governor. Joseph had to go up to Galilee, a city, because he was of the house of David. David was born in Bethlehem, and because he was of the lineage of David, he had to register in Bethlehem. And because Mary was there, she went too to have register. And while they were there, the time came. It happened in time that she gave birth. And she gave birth to the son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes because there was no place for them in the inn. And I would so love to talk about the inn, but we can't because we don't have time. This happens in time. God initiates by grace with an angel. Verse 8 and 9. In the same region, there were shepherds. And they were watching over the flock. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. And they were so afraid. And God initiates by grace with them. And you know who shepherds were in the Jewish economy? This was the most menial task that a person could have, was to be a shepherd. As a matter of fact, they weren't necessarily bad folks, but they just couldn't keep any of the laws of the Pharisees. You know, like you're out and you're shepherding and it says you only take so many steps on the Sabbath day, and how are you going to do that when your sheep go running off? You know? How are you not going to work on the Sabbath day when you're a shepherd? I want you to know, the shepherds inherently could not keep the Pharisaical laws. At least, and have an occupation as a shepherd. So they were the lowest of the lowest, and they were looked down on. They were kind of like despised, but they weren't kind of like bad folks. But because they couldn't keep the law, began to consider them as being, you know, you're about as trustworthy as a car salesman. Kind of thing with the shepherds. And God takes in grace initiative and He goes to the shepherds. And He goes powerful, because suddenly there is with this angel who announced that unto us this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Suddenly there's this whole multitude of heavenly angels and they're saying glorifying to God, and these shepherds are kind of overpowered by this thing. And the shepherds have a response. And it's time for us to talk about response. God initiates this thing. It's totally by grace. God initiates this thing, and it's a powerful act of grace. And He does it in time. As a matter of fact, if you were in Christ, He's already initiated it, and it's in your lifetime. And it calls for a response. Calls for a response. Response time. Let's take a look at Mary's response. You willing to come? Mary's response. What was Mary's response? Luke chapter 8, 31. If you don't know the story, look at Luke 38:38. What's Mary's response? And Mary's response is, behold, let it be done to me like you say. This is what she does. She's willing to come to him. Joseph's response. What was Joseph's response? Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. And Joseph did. What's his response? He did as the Lord said. And he took Mary to be his wife, and they weren't together intimately until after Jesus was born, and then they had several kids after that. Response! He goes to him as Lord. He goes to him. It's the response. It's the response in time to God's grace initiatives, which are for acts of power in people's lives, in which God follows through on His grace initiatives. They trust that. And they just go with Him. Say this with me. They trust that. Say this with me. They trust that. Say this with me. They trust that, and they go with Him. And they go with Him. They're willing to come to Him. They're willing to come to Him. How about the shepherds? What was their response? Here, we're in Luke chapter 2. Look at the shepherds' response. Verse 15. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go. Let's go over to Bethlehem. And it's just down here out of the field. And see this thing which has happened, that the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They hurried up, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, just like they were said. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds were talking about. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to their jobs, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and what had been told them. You see what the shepherds did? They went with it. They went with it. This thing of God coming to you isn't distant. It's not far off. It's not high and holy religious that I can't reach, that I can't get there, that I can't do it. No, because it's not of you. It is of God. And He's coming, and He's coming based on unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor and help and blessing to you. So that you will see that God initiates this thing. And it's all by grace. And it's for acts of power in people's lives. And He follows through on it. And you will just settle down. And come to Him. Telling. You see, that's where this brings us. This brings us to willing to come to Him in what He's doing. What are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's the Lord doing? What's the Lord doing right now? What's He doing? Sure. You know what He said He's doing? Building my church. That's what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing? I'm with those who are making disciples. That's what I'm doing. So, for you, just willing to come with them. Amen? No big deal. Go with him. Father in heaven, what you have done, magnificent in power, so that we come to you, go with you, because we're changed from the inside out. In Jesus' name.